Thank you.
Thank you. We have one final argument, oral argument. I see that Ms. Olson is here. And Ms. Olson, do you know if your client is intending to appear?
He is not intending to appear, Your Honor.
Well, then, with your permission, we're scheduled for 12:20. Do you mind if we go forward? There is no respondent in this case.
I'm more than fine going forward.
Okay. Is that okay with my colleagues? Then why don't we get started? Marshall, would you please call the case?
Next case is A220515, Julie Marie Oakes Wallen, now known as Julie Marie Oakes, petitioner, respondent, versus Kevin Paul Wallen, appellant.
And counsel, would you please state your name for the record and who you are representing?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Michelle Olson, and I represent the appellant Kevin Wallen in this matter. We are asking this court to reverse and remand the decision by the district court for really three main reasons. The first reason is that the contract of the parenting time consultant does not allow for what happened in this situation, which is a complete restriction of my client's parenting time. And due to that restriction, what has happened is a de facto modification of custody without any hearing or any presentation of evidence or really a motion to district court. It was the parenting consultant that made the decision.
To that point, Ms. Olson, doesn't the agreement of the parties, which the district court adopted, talk about the label as opposed to the changing of custody?
It discusses the label, Your Honor, but the restriction isn't necessarily a modification of the label itself. It is the restriction of his parenting time, which she, in her contract, agrees that she can't do that type of modification. And by completely removing him out of the kid's life, you are giving sole physical custody to a parent. I mean, you're giving an extreme restriction that no parenting time can be allowed, even though that isn't under her authority. It is to just make decisions regarding things that have actually been presented to her. And in this case, that isn't what happened. The parenting time consultant made her own decision based on her own investigation, not necessarily anything that had been brought by either party. And then to couple that, the district court is saying, well, she didn't abuse her discretion, so therefore I can't do anything further. But that's incorrect. There is an independent review requirement, and that is because parenting time consultants can't make endangerment decisions. They are not a court. So when Mr. Wallen...
I have a couple of questions for you. The first one is that in June of 2020, the parenting consultant suspended your client's parenting time. That decision was not appealed. The decision that you are appealing, as I understand it, is the May 24th, 2021 decision that suspends contact between father and children. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. The original decision was not appealed. It is the May 2021 because he lost parenting time and then he lost all contact with the child. And that zero restriction does warrant some type of endangerment or showing or finding of endangerment. And it's not merely a recitation of what the parenting time consultant is, but in fact, what the district court independently reviewed. And the district court couldn't, because her basis was not found to be directly related to the children, meaning the conduct wasn't to the children themselves. It was mainly dealing with Mr. Wallen's conduct between him and the parenting consultant and him and an old therapist, not the current therapist that the party, the children had been going to. And the issue...
My understanding from the record is, and are you talking about therapist Seymour?
Yes.
And the parenting consultant looked at his report, which recommended suspending all contact because it was harmful to one of the children.
Yes, and I don't disagree that that is something that could relate, that one of the children were potentially harmed, but the scope of the parenting consultant's authority isn't to completely remove all contact. It is a very limited situation because, again, to remove that restriction, to completely remove a parent, that is a decision of the district court, which is why there has to be that independent review. The parenting consultant is looked at, and then the court needs to make an independent review on the best interest to determine if that's the case. In this situation, we have a further issue, which is that to remove the parent, you have to find some type of endangerment, and there was no endangerment found by the court. What the court said was the parenting consultant made a decision. I think it's logical, and I'm going to agree with that decision, not that the court found.
The parenting time agreement provides that the court shall review the decisions using an abuse of discretion standard, correct?
Yes, it uses an abuse of discretion, but you abuse your discretion if you're misapplying the law. That is an abuse of discretion. It's also an error as a matter of law, but we're not asking necessarily for de novo review. The fact that the judge did not review the correct legal standard on his own is the error. But regarding the PC, she abused her discretion because she went outside of the scope of her authority, as well as she misapplied, again, the law. There is a requirement to show endangerment.
You've said several times that she went outside the scope of her authority, and I want to understand your argument a little better. When you say she went outside of the scope of her authority, what language in the contract are you relying on?
The scope of the authority is in Section B or 5 of the agreement, which would be on our addendum 2 and mm-hmm. 3. What it says regarding that is that she can make decisions regarding parenting time if they are brought forward to her by one of the parents. Neither parent from the record did bring this to her attention. This is something that the therapist seemed to have. She had been working with the therapist. There were different issues that she had been going through, but this particular issue was not one of them. She specifically is allowed to trade time, give compensatory time, you know, interpret ambiguities, things of that nature. But there's nothing in here that says she can completely restrict or remove a parent's parenting time. And that is what she did. And I understand that the first order wasn't appealed, but the further contact, this is a coupling issue.
Under the scope of her authority, though, she does have the authority to require independent evaluations and psychological testing of the parties, and also to make decisions decisions, including the authority to impose consequences for noncompliance.
I agree, Your Honor, that she can impose the evaluation. And I think imposing the evaluation wasn't outside of her scope of authority. To make a consequence of, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your entire parenting time and subsequently your contact, because that was an additional consequence she made, is an abuse of discretion. That is above an extreme remedy for a situation that was occurring. And when my client appealed it to the district court to address this issue, the court never made that independent review to determine, is this appropriate? Should we be looking at other factors?
Didn't the district court determine that on page 23 of the addendum that the decision is based solely on the children's best interests?
The district court did find for best interest, but this is a significant restriction, which endangerment would be required to be applied, not just best interest. That is why it's...
And you're basing that on the statute, correct?
I am basing it on 518.18. There is no waiver of that best interest factors. And again, an abuse of discretion is also a failure to follow the law. The PC just decided that there were this consequence, but the court never found why this particular consequence was in the best interest of the child, if that's what he was determining. The court actually doesn't say it is a consequence. He just says that it's logical, and I agree with the PC. There needs to be more findings, which is really why we are also asking for a reverse and a remand. We think there's more information that should have been provided. And if the court did find some type of endangerment, instead of allowing a 2-year restriction, a hearing should have been held. And I
went back and looked at the record, and it spans at least 8 volumes of documents. So you would agree with me that it's been a contentious 10 or 12 years in the parties' lives.
There's no dispute of that.
And your client has gone through a number of attorneys. I see that you are not the attorney who signed the stipulation and order to appoint the parenting time consultant.
We are not.
And it's a very expansive and detailed stipulation, it seems that, and I looked at the time around April when they entered into this agreement. There were a number of motions and other things going back and forth, but mostly directed at your client about contempt of court and some other issues that were going on. At least that's what the documentary record shows.
I agree. I think the issue we have here is a contempt of court doesn't necessarily mean it affects the child's relationship, and that conduct should not be used in making a determination of whether or not to remove the parent.
I'm just saying that that's kind of the backdrop and time frame during which this stipulation was entered into between the mother and the father.
Absolutely. I agree that they've had a very contentious 12 years, and you can note the contention by the fact that we've had several changes of the parenting time. It went to equal. It then had one parent having a mother just had the daughter for a period of time, mm-hmm. and father had the two boys. And then we had a period where each person had one child. So to say that father is incapable, which is virtually what's happening here, it is saying that he's unfit. That is what the court has done. That's what the PC has done. And the court has adopted the PC's recommendation.
Well, you talked about the scope of authority of the parenting time consultant being found in 5. And large A, capital A, says she'll have the authority to perform the following, which are meant to be inclusive but not limiting. So I don't see that as the exclusive list of duties for the consultant. I look back to paragraph 4, which talks about duties and responsibilities. Paragraph A says, shall have the duty and responsibility to assist the parties in resolving all child-related issues except those that are excluded under paragraph B. In paragraph B, it seems to me prohibited the PC from making determinations that related to financial issues. So spousal support, child support, and the modifying of custody labels. And that term custody labels as opposed to custody is where I am getting hung up on your argument. Because when I look at the case law I looked in the statute, is there custody labels somewhere? No, in no statutes. But the case law talks about custody labels, and there aren't many cases, and it relates to who gets the tax benefits for a child living with them and that sort of thing. And so since paragraph B is dealing with money, it seems that a reasonable reading of custody labels has to do with money also and who gets tax benefits and other monetary benefits. Because otherwise they would have said modifying custody, I think.
I would respectfully disagree. Custody labels, and the point of a custody label is a determination of decision-making. That is under Minnesota Statute 518.17. And in this situation, when this restriction came, my client technically had sole custody of one of the children. So she reverted a custody label by removing the child from his care. He's not making decision makings. In fact, it's pretty specific that the physical custody, what is usually determined and what we usually define it as, is the day-to-day decision-making of a child. And you can't make day-to-day decision-making if you're not allowed contact with that child and you're not allowed to be around that child.
And it seems to me the judge reserved ruling on it, saying, if you get the psychological, this is to your client. It seems to me that the keys for your client to have contact with his children is to comply with getting a psychological and some other things, which is totally within his control.
I agree, but the court abused its discretion. It said you cannot have your children, you cannot have contact with your children unless you do this. And there is no finding by the district court on why that restriction is allowed. It is not under 518.18, which is what the judge did by adopting the court. And it's certainly not under the best interest because none of the factors were relayed.
I see that your time is up. Do you want to make a closing argument?
If I may, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you. Really, at the end of the day, this is pretty simple. We are asking the court to reverse and remand to the district court. We're not saying that the district court may not come up with the same outcome. It very well should and could. What it may be is that more findings need to be made, specifically under the legal obligations of the district court, which is to review the PC under its scope of authority and to apply the Minnesota statutes to determine if that is appropriate remedy. If it is, then that is understandable, and maybe we would have more findings or a better depth to make an understanding of what the court did. But a mere adoption of the PC because of logic is not appropriate under Minnesota case law. So we would ask to reverse and remand. Thank you.
Thank you. And the case is taken under advisement.